Good morning, church. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. I pray that you were blessed by listening to Jared and the worship team. I pray that you were blessed also by reading Psalm 27 with your family. Do this. Continue to pray for the members of this church. Pray for your family. Pray for other members at home right now listening to the sermon. Just pray for the children. Pray that their hearts will be open to the things of God. Pray that they will be attentive. Pray that you will be attentive. Pray against apathy. Pray for an excitement for the Lord to be able to move in your heart. So just pray. Pray for the church and pray for yourself and pray for your family. With that said, I want us to dive into the sermon together. The title of today's sermon is Overcoming Fear in Your Life. Overcoming Fear in Your Life. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 14. In 1851, an English missionary by the name of Alan Gardner was on his way to South America to start a new mission. And on the way there, Alan and his companions had a shipwreck on a very small, remote island. They waited and waited for someone to come rescue them, but no one came to rescue them, and eventually they died. Alan Gardner died alone, far, far away from his family. He died away from his family. Alan Gardner died of thirst. Alan Gardner died of hunger. What a horrible way to die. Absolutely horrible way to die. But when they finally got to his body, right next to his body, they found a journal. And written within the journal was Psalm 34, verse 10. Notice and listen very carefully what it states. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Right under Psalm 34, verse 10, Alan Gardner penned with his own words, and this is what he wrote, this is what he said, this is what he wants us to see. His last words, I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God. I am overwhelmed with the sense of the goodness of God. Now wait one second. Alan Gardner did not say, I was overwhelmed with the goodness of God, or I will be overwhelmed with the goodness of God, but presently, I am overwhelmed with the goodness of God. How can Alan Gardner say such thing? You know why? Because to Alan Gardner, the goodness of God was ultimately the presence of God. As he is dying, he sensed God with him. And because of that, it was the ultimate goodness of God. Friends, this is very important because here, Alan Gardner is saying to us, and we must see this, and this is exactly what the psalmist is telling us in Psalm 27. What is that? He saw the one thing. He had the one thing, and that one thing was God. And therefore, he had nothing to be afraid of. Do you get that? Did you hear that? Alan Gardner and the psalmist had one thing, who was God. And because of that, he had nothing to be afraid of. As we notice in this psalm, before Alan Gardner was this person by the name of David. And we know of David in the Old Testament, a man after God's own heart. David is the author of Psalm 27. And David is experiencing many, many trials in his lives. As a matter of fact, we notice in Psalm 27 of all the trials that he dealt with. For example, he had his enemies pursuing him in verses 2 and 3. He was shut out of the house of the Lord in verse 4. He was abandoned by his parents, if you notice in verse 10. He was subjected to slander, as we see in verse 12. Listen very carefully to this. We are listening to the words of someone who has been through a lot of trials and one who is still going through a lot of trials. And as he's going through all of this, he reaches out to God and he sees something incredible. He sees the light of God breaks into his darkness. What a powerful psalm that we have before us. He sees God as light. He sees his trials and difficulties as darkness. And God breaks into his darkness. Friends, It is a song of cheerful hope that we have before us. If you struggle with leaning on God in the midst of your trials and difficulties, if you struggle with overcoming fear in your life, this psalm, friends, is fitted for you, is well fitted for you. Psalm 27 starts on a powerful note of triumph and builds up from there. Psalm 27 is David's recognition that God's strength is made perfect in his weakness. So this morning, I want us to see four ways by which we can overcome fear in our lives. Four ways that we can overcome fear in our lives. One, by reminding yourself of the reasons why you should not fear. Preach to yourself. The psalm is so good at this. The Psalms always tell us to preach to ourselves, remind ourselves of the goodness of God, remind ourselves of why we should not fear. We see this in verses 1 through 3. 2, by recognizing the source of your confidence. The psalmist here tells us that one thing he desires, and that is to be in the house of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is the source of his confidence. We see this in verses 4 through 5 and 3. By depending on God's care for you as a father. What a great passage of scripture. That this great being is our father. If you have a relationship with him, if you've entered into a personal relationship with Jesus, God is your father. And the psalmist here is saying that God is like a father who cares for his children. We see this in verses 6 through 12 and 4, by waiting on the Lord. This is the disposition of David's heart. This is the reason why he does not fear, because he wait on the Lord. And we live in a society where we are not waiting. We want things very quickly. And here David says, you want to overcome fear in your life? Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. We see this in verses 13 through 14. Join me as we notice the first point by reminding yourself of the reasons why you should not fear. Notice in verse 1. In verse 1, David states, whom shall I fear? Twice in the text, whom shall I fear? His reasons for not fearing are found in who God is to him. Do you notice this? He relies on his past experiences with God and how God was faithful to him. And that's why he is making this great declaration that I shall not fear. Why? Because of who God is to me. But David here tells us something important, brothers and sisters. Come in closer and get this. He gives us a threefold reminder that the Lord himself is the best place that any believer can find sanctuary. He's the best place. And what are the threefold reminders? Well, notice in your Bible what he states. He says that God is what? God is his light. God is my light. In verse 1, God is my salvation. And God is my stronghold. The first one we must see is that God is his light. God is a natural figure for almost everything that is positive, that is vital, that is true, and that is good. In other words, what David is telling us here, and coming closer and get this, light is the answer to fear for David. We know this. If you are in a room that is illuminated, there's light, and all of a sudden the light goes out, there is immediate fear in your hearts. But you remind yourself that you have your cell phone in your pocket. So you reach down, you grab your cell phone, and you turn on the flashlight, and that light illuminates the room. It breaks into darkness, and immediately you feel thankful, hopeful. This is exactly what David is saying. But to him, the light is not a flashlight. The light is God and the presence of God, and the darkness is his troubles. And he says that God breaks into the darkness that surrounds him, the troubles that surround him. Friends, I absolutely love what David is doing here, and I want you to get this, and go ahead and write this down if you can at home. The presence of light dispels the fear that comes with darkness. I'll say it again. The presence of light dispels the fear that comes with darkness. David calls upon God to dispel the darkness in his own life. And anytime we think of God, we think of how awesome God is. When we think of him, we must think of him as light, right? As light. Notice what Scripture says about him in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. Who alone has immortality, who dwell in unapproachable light. This is the description of our great God, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. And the New Testament often associate God to be in light. But do you know, this is the only time in the Old Testament where it mentions that God is light. In Psalm 27, verse 1. Only time in the Old Testament. Why is that so significant? Because David understands that God is light. And David trusts in God to be able to help him in his troubles and trials. But saints, come in closer and get this. What does Scripture say about our great Savior in the New Testament? How he is of light. How he is light. For example, John chapter 1, verse 5 and 9. Verses 5 and 9. Notice very carefully what it states. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Who is this light? It is Jesus. We have a greater reason to trust that God will dispel fear in our lives because of the work of Jesus Christ. Because we are on this side of the cross. So if David in Psalm 27 has great hope that God will help him in the midst of his difficulties, how much more should we have hope that God will help us? Because he is light. Notice as well what it mentions. Not only is he light, but the second thing it states is that God is salvation. The Hebrew word here for salvation is the word deliver, that God will deliver him, that God will help him. He is the great deliverer, and we trust in him. Brothers and sisters, hope in God dismisses all fears. And we must hope in him. We must trust in him. Third, not only is God light, God is the one who delivers. But third, he mentions here that God is his stronghold. So the word stronghold is also the word refuge, that God is his refuge. So I want you to get this, and I want you to get this. And this is some evaluating questions I had to ask myself as I'm reading this text. And I want to ask you these questions as well. Two questions. The first question is this. Where do you go when troubles are like missiles facing your directions and are about to attack? Where do you go? Where is your shelter? Where is your bunker? Where is your refuge? And here's another question. If you say you go to this shelter or this refuge, here's a good question for you to ask. Do you have a strong enough shelter that will protect you? Whatever shelter you say you're fleeing to, make sure that shelter is strong enough to help you. And friends, coming closer and get this. David here is saying he has only one shelter. It's not the government. It's not his fame. It's not his money. It's not his kingship. It's not his army. It is God. Do you get this? There is one shelter, only one shelter that can help him, and that shelter is God. But notice this as well. Notice here, David does not say that God brings light, God brings deliverance, and God brings refuge. No. He mentions here that God is light, God is his refuge, and God is his deliverer. It's only in God can he find this. So wherever God is, David finds strength. He doesn't bring it. He is. And that's the beautiful thing of this psalm. But friends, I need you to get this, and I want you to observe with me when we talk about light, salvation, and stronghold. Light speaks of spiritual understanding and guidance. Salvation points to the greatest of all deliverance, namely the deliverance that Jesus delivered us from sin by his death. We know this according to Scripture. Stronghold here refers to that spiritual refuge from the pains and the beatings and the poundings of life, by which God himself has saved his people, has rescued his people. You get this. God is our light. God is our deliverance. And God is our stronghold. Thank God for that. That's why we do not fear, because of who God is. So friends, notice with me very carefully. Not only does David mention why he does not fear because of who God is, but he also gives us a description of things around him. Notice with me very carefully in verse 2. He mentions first, when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh. He describes his enemies as cannibals who are coming to eat him up, as parasites who are eating up his flesh. What a scary sight. But notice very carefully what David mentions here. He says, it is they who stumble and fall, but not me. What great confidence. And the confidence is because of who God is to David. God is his light. God is his strength. God is his stronghold. God is his deliverance. And therefore, they will stumble and not him. Notice what else he mentions in verse 3. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. They will come around me, surround me, but I have resolved in my heart to not fear. Notice the third thing he mentions. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. Oh, friends, notice what David is doing here. David's deep personal relationship with God enables him to face life even in its most threatening forms without fear. Wow. When we are walking in sweet fellowship with the Lord, he gives us great strength and he dispels fear in our lives. Friends, I want you to get this very carefully as we read this text, a great principle that we must see. Come in closer and get this. A high view of God cultivates a strong and an unmovable confidence in the life of the believer. Did you hear this? A high view of God cultivates a strong and unmovable confidence in the life of the believer. What David tells us here is that his troubles are still present. As he is writing this down, his troubles are still present. And that tells us something great about faith. That faith does not sidestep the darkness in our lives. Rather, it affirms God's presence in the darkness. What great truth. It does not mean that our troubles will disappear. No. But rather, God will give us strength in our troubles, is what David is teaching us. But notice with me the second point. The second point is by recognizing the source of your confidence. How can you overcome fear in your life? Recognize the source of your confidence. See for yourself in verses 4 through 5 what David mentions here. David's confidence grew as his commitment to God grew. And in verse 4, he tells us that the source of his confidence is the presence of God. The presence of God. He tells us something incredible about worship here. So if you want to elevate your pain and your sufferings and fears in the world, then we must know how to worship the Lord. We must know how to worship him. This is what David is saying to us here. The best remedy for anxiety and depression and fear is worship. Worship, making much of him, living for him, singing to him. And this is what David is saying here. Friends, get this. Worship offers the best sanctuary for earthly troubles. It does. Worship transports us out of our darkness and misery into the presence of the Lord, who is our light and our salvation. Worship is the key which opens to an enriching life. It is. And this is what he's saying here. David says that his soul seeks after one thing. Notice in your Bibles, verse 4, one thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I cannot read this without getting emotional, but my God, it's just so poetic. It's so powerful that David is saying, only one thing that I seek, and that is to be with the Lord. Friends, one thing about COVID-19 is that we're all not exposed to it. Not all of us are exposed to it, but we are all exposed by it. What do you mean by this? COVID-19 has exposed all of our idols, the things in our lives that we have made a priority, the things that we say, the one thing that I seek. And it has exposed all of our idols. And when our idols are threatened, then there is anxiety and depression. I love what Augustine mentions here. Notice what he mentions. Here's where anxiety comes from. All of us have good things in our lives, and we love them, and we desire them. Good things, parents and children are good things. A career is a good thing. Romance is a good thing. Sex is a good thing. All sorts of things are good things. We have lots of good things in our lives, but when good things become our inordinate desires, that's when anxiety comes. Inordinate, great desires. One desire, only desire. That's when anxiety comes. Friends, what David is saying here is one thing that he seeks after, and that is the presence of God. We can enjoy good things in our lives only when we seek God first, only when we make God a priority. But the gifts that God has given us, if we put them before God, we will struggle with depression, fear, anxiety, and all of these things in our lives. Here David says, one thing I desire. So here's the remedy. Seek him. The source of your confidence is God, to be with God, to worship God. And David understood the presence of God was the most incredible thing in his life. In Psalm 51, this is exactly when David sinned against Israel, when he sinned against God, and he cried out and he says, God, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Why do you think David is crying out? Because David understood the presence of God was so important to him. It is God's ultimate goodness. It's God's presence with him. But notice he says he desires to gaze in the beauty of the Lord. He's like a lovesick high school boy who is infatuated by a beautiful girl. David is lovesick and he's saying, God, I want to be in your presence to enjoy your beauty, O Lord. John Owen, this is what he mentions, this is what he stated. Unless man see a beauty and delight in the worship of God, they will not do it willingly. So do you see the beauty of God in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of your trials? Do you see how awesome he is when you get up in the morning to worship him, to read scripture, to pray, and you feel his presence? You know that he is with you, and you can gaze upon his face because he is so beautiful. Is God beautiful to you? Are you adoring him and worshiping him? Then he mentions to inquire in his temple. The word inquire here means to seek. He is seeking answers for his problems. So there is a sense of him worshiping God, adoring God, but worship also involves us asking God questions, asking God to give us wisdom. That's part of worship as well. And this is what David does here. In verse 5, he mentions that God will protect him by hiding him, concealing him, lifting him up upon a rock. And David's response is in verse 6. See for yourself at the end of verse 6 what he mentions. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Praise him for all the good things he has done for you. That one thing that David seeks is also mentioned in the New Testament. First is mentioned by Jesus, right? When Jesus is with Martha and Mary chose the right thing and Martha chose the wrong thing. And notice what Jesus mentions. He says, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. What's that one thing? Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Do you know what Mary's disposition was physically and spiritually? At the feet of Jesus. That's the one thing. And that's the one thing the psalmist is saying here. But not only Jesus, the apostle Paul says the same thing. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he mentions, brothers, do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. What's that one thing, Paul? Tell us. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Pressing forward to Jesus. That's the one thing. What is the one thing in your life? Is it Jesus? Are you seeking first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness? And all these things will be added unto you. That's what scripture says. But notice with me the third point. How do we overcome fear in our life? Third, by depending on God's care for you as Father. I love this text. From verse 7 all the way down to verse 12, we are given a great description of God as a father. A lot of people, when they turn to this passage of scripture, they really focus on verse 10. People's attention is directed to verse 10. And the reason why is because they see something crazy happening here. And what's crazy? They see David's parents are forsaking him, abandoning him. And there is great pain in his life. So people can identify with that. And why is that? Well, I did some research and I noticed this, a stat on a blog post from the Huffington Post titled America's Abandoned Children. And it mentioned each year 40,000 new infants are placed in the foster care. That's a lot of kids each year. 40,000 new infants. 25% of individuals who end up in prison spent time in the foster care system. 30% of people who are homeless spend time in the foster care system. So we could identify when we see this, and David has pain in his heart because he felt his parents has abandoned him. There is great pain here. But people are also drawn to this passage of scripture because they see a good example of a parent. And God has given us a good example of a parent. For example, what do you look for in a parent? What should a good parent look like? A good parent should be receiving and listen. A good parent should guide. A good parent should protect. All of these things we should look for in a good parent. And here, David tells us we can find all of these things in God because God is our Father. First, he seeks to be heard. He seeks to be heard. We see this in verses 7 through 8. Verses 7 through 8. Notice with me very carefully what he mentions here. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. So David here is like a child who is saying to his parent, who is God, listen to me, God, when I talk to you. And I remember when my boys were like younger, when I would be engaged maybe in doing something, maybe on my phone, scrolling through Facebook, and they're trying to talk to me, and I'm like nodding my head, and they're like, okay, Dad, you're not listening. And sometimes what they would do is they'll put both hands on the side of my face and pull my face towards their face. And they would say, Dad, I need you to listen. And I think David, in a sense, he's saying, God, listen to me. But here's something cool about this. God is always attentive. God is not scrolling on Facebook. God is not busy. God is always looking to be to move towards his people. God is always listening to his people. But notice as well, second, he says he seeks acceptance. David seeks acceptance. This is what a child does to a parent and his parents. He wants to be accepted by them. And notice with me very carefully, he says to the Lord, hide not your face from me, O Lord. Do not hide your face from me. You're a good dad, so I need you to come and rescue me. I don't need to be rejected. I need to be accepted. Sometimes we might be rejected by our children, by our parents, by our husbands, by our wives. But listen very carefully. God will never reject his children. Never, ever. That's great truth. Notice as well what David mentions here. Third, he seeks guidance from God. And children need guidance, right? Constantly, you need to guide them. You need to teach them. And here, David is telling us something incredible here in verse 11. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries. David is asking the Lord to teach him as a child. Father, teach me your ways. And finally, he seeks God's protection in verse 4. And parents, we know this, that children need our protection. And here, David is saying to protect me, give me not up to the will of my adversaries, O Lord. And notice me the final point. Final point. How do we overcome fear in our lives? By waiting on the Lord. This is the disposition of David's heart. Does David have the acceptance, answers, guidance, protection he needs from God? Yes. Yes, he does. Yes, he got all of that from the Lord. Notice in your Bibles in verse 13, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait on the Lord. Oh, friends, his timing is so impeccable that we must wait. We find ourselves very anxious, very fearful, because we do not wait on the Lord. In this time, wait on him. Wait on him. Trust in him. Seek wisdom from him. And watch how the Lord will help you tremendously. If you move quickly, you will find yourself fearful. But if you wait on the Lord and he directs your step, you will find yourself confident. Why? Because you have the presence of God with you. Be blessed by his word.